The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:45pm with Sean Quinn, John Budden and Gareth Topham in the studio. It's Fontwell and Salisbury in the afternoon, Lingfield and Worcester in the evening domestically, and there's also a meeting in Ireland on Tuesday evening as well, one from Roscommon. So five meetings to look at. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the podcast for the first time, I'm delighted to welcome the Racing Post's Ed Quigley. How are you, Ed?
I'm very well, thanks. And yourself?
Yes, very well, thank you. We've just had quite a spectacular weekend of racing, so we'll take this opportunity to look back at that. We're going to go through the questions in the Racing Post Monday jury, and that allows us to reflect on that a little bit. And then we'll look ahead to Tuesday's racing. Ed's got three selections for us. So, Ed, just before we get stuck into the Monday jury, I mean, what a weekend of racing we've had. It's been brilliant, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been full on, hasn't it, really? I mean, obviously spectacular action at Epsom. Crowds really enjoying that. The sun came out for at least one of the days anyway, so I'm sure, yeah, punters and spectators were delighted alike. And as you say, yeah, there's been some top racing recently, and yeah, rolling on to the next big set of action.
Yes, not too far away from Royal Ascot already as well, which is nice. Looking at the Monday jury then, just how good is Australia and how would you campaign him now? I mean, he won the Derby in pretty impressive fashion. He was very much a talking horse for a long time before the race, and he's done the business on the track. So what would you do with him now?
Indeed, he delivered, didn't he? You always worry sometimes a lot of the Ballydore horses are hyped up, and sometimes, well, more often than not, they deliver, but you always worry. You never kind of know where to set the barometer, do you? But yeah, Australia never really looked like being beaten, did it? Travelled round smoothly, put the race to bed in a matter of strides, and very, very impressive performance, stringing out the opposition, of which the form looks solid. So where would I campaign him? Well, what I would probably do with him, I'd be more tempted to go to the Eclipse, because I think he's a horse who's still got a good turn of foot, and I think he probably won in spite of a mile four rather than because of a mile four in the Derby. I still think he'd be fully effective at a mile two, but I'm almost sure they'll go to the Irish Derby next time out with him. I mean, Ballydore love that race. They just farm it, don't they? And then afterwards, perhaps you're looking at races like the King George and then on to the Arc de Triomphe with something like the Irish Champion Stakes thrown in between. So he looks like he's going to be versatile between a mile and a quarter, a mile and a half. I would just be leaning towards dropping him back to mile two, because once he hit the front, I don't think he powered away as such. He won the race comfortably by his class and the way he travelled to the front. So I would be leaning towards the Eclipse, but I'm almost certain they'll go for the Irish Derby with him.
Yeah, they do love the Irish Derby, don't they, Ballydoyle, as you're saying. I'm inclined to agree with you there as well, because I think he won the Derby because he was the best horse in the race, and that got him out of, well, not got him out of trouble, but helped him stay the mile and a half and win the race. But I do think he will be better at 10 myself as well, so I'd agree with you there. How high can Derby second Kingston Hill fly? Because he was admirable in defeat, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. I mean, also, you've got to take into account is Kingston Hill was coming out from an awful draw, of which I don't think has ever been a Derby winner from the, or maybe one Derby winner in history from his draw. So he ran an absolute stormer under a great ride from Andrea Azzini. So look, he's going to be there or thereabouts in all the big contests. It'll probably be a question of where they go, where Australia doesn't, if you see what I'm saying. I think Roger Varian wouldn't mind a rematch, but I think Australia just is the better colt. So yeah, it will be interesting where they go with him. I have a feeling they'll try and plot their route around Australia in some regards, but there's definitely, you think, another group one to be had with him, because he is a very, very classy individual.
Yeah, and like you said, to do that from stall two, well, that's just remarkable, isn't it? Upgrades the performance no end. So very good performance there. What else got your eye in the Derby?
Well, there were two, really. I thought A-Rod, or A-Rod, however you like to pronounce it, Peter Chappell-Heim's colt, I mean, very inexperienced, really. Bolted up in a Windsor Maiden, was staying on second in the Dante, and then arrives here. I mean, one of the most inexperienced horses in the field. I thought he ran a stormer, considering watching the race back again. He pulled his head off, was very keen early doors, and still managed to side his way through the field in the closing stages. He's never on a really strongly run a mile and a quarter on a stiff track on fast ground. I could see him like in the Eclipse going well at a price and perhaps running into a place there at a bigger odds, because he's definitely a horse, as I said, he's still got all his best years ahead of him. You'd think he's very lightly raced, plenty more to come. So he was one I think is one to keep in the notebook. And Western Him, I do think, was one that was seemed to find everything happening far too quickly. But once the penny dropped in the closing stages, stayed on. That's one I've put in the notebooks for the St. Ledger anyway. John Gosden has a good record in the Ledger. So, yeah, we're outside the obvious, if you see what I'm saying. But Western Him and A-Roll will be the two I'm looking forward to where they go next time out.
OK, let's take a look at the fillies then. How taken were you with Oaks winner Tagruda? Well, I was very impressed personally.
Indeed. I mean, visually, I was far more impressed with Tagruda than I was with the Derby winner, to be honest with you. But the big thing coming into that race was a lot of the people were crabbing the form of Tagruda, saying, well, it hadn't really done this, hadn't really done that. Every horse that Tagruda beaten had consequently flopped. And so you start to worry, don't you? But at the end of the day, if you say grand benefit hindsight, she can only beat what's been put in front of her. And she mullered all her opposition going into the Oaks and turned up and mullered them in this one, didn't she? I mean, she was fantastic. Great turn of foot. I think she'd stay a mile six. I think she's easily got the pace for a mile two. I think she's very versatile, very exciting. It'd be very interesting, again, what connections do with that one. Would they be thinking the arc as a grand end-of-season campaign? Obviously, fillies have a good record in that race. So, yeah, Tagruda, very, very exciting prospect. And, you'll say prospect, I suppose, she's fulfilled that now, hasn't she? But one, again, I'm very much looking forward to and what they do with her from now.
Yep, very impressive. Tagruda in the Oaks. Who else goes into your notebook from the Fillies Classic?
I've got to be honest with you. Whereas there was those further down in the Colts version, I made notes of that there wasn't a lot in this that really stood out to me. A couple that underperformed, and I think Dermot Wells Tarfesha ran a very solid race in defeat, but there weren't many jumping out of the pages excuse horses, if you like, from in behind there. So very much out of that race, the winner is the one I'm solely concentrating on. Yeah, Tagruda, I think it looks a top-class filly and one that will be very, very tough to beat.
OK, and the final question of this week's Monday, Jerry. Outside the classics, tell us who impressed you most at Epsom.
Funny enough, it would be a loser, but it would be a horse called Regal Parade, who's, he's about 25 now. He really is getting on, but he finished third at 33-1 in the closing sprint on Derby Day. And I think it was quite remarkable, actually, because if you watch the race again, he got absolutely buffeted out really wide, about eight deep. He probably ran about a furlong further than everybody else, but absolutely flew home at the death. I mean, he went past about 10 rivals in the final furlong. He was only beaten about a length and a half. He was really unlucky there. I mean, he may have shown his hand, but he's so well handicapped. I mean, he's a dual Group 1 winner going back 3-4 years ago. With a bit of cut in the ground, I'm convinced that there's another win in him. I'm hoping in a way now he goes off the boil for a couple of races and then comes back for one big hurrah when the ground's soft. But yeah, Regal Parade, I say he's an old sprinter. He doesn't win that often, but he showed the fire still burn at least at Epsom on Saturday anyway, and he's one who's he's in my notepad.
Okay, interesting stuff. That just about does it for the Monday Jory this week then, and it's now time to move on to Tuesday's racing, so we'll get Ed's selections for Tuesday in just a second.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, Ed's been trawling through the form book for us ahead of Tuesday's racing. The first race that he's picked out is the 3:40 at Fontwell, and we start here with a Class 4 handicap chase over 2.25 miles. We have 10 of them in the lineup for this, so could be a nice bit of value to be found in here. Ed, which ones have made the shortlist?
Well, there's only one really. It's a horse I've had lodged in my Racing Post horse tracker for some time now, and it's a horse of Alan King's called McVicar, which basically, I mean, he's always said is one of the best horses he has working at home, and it's been a question trying to get him to translate that to the track, which hasn't always been the case. But he made his chase debut and looked like his legs were tied together, in all honesty, on his penultimate start. But last time out, he showed that he just needed that run. And he ran a really eye-catching race at Haydock, I thought, over 2.5 miles on soft ground, where he actually travelled pretty well for most of the race. But the old petrol light seemed to come on, and he just blew up, basically, at the final couple of fences up the run in there. That was over 2.4 on soft. This is a better surface, dropped 2.2. I think this is going to be, this trip will suit definitely. He had plenty of form over 2 miles over hurdles. So I think the trip's going to suit. I think the better ground will help. He's jumping, as I touched upon, on his first start, just looked woeful. He looked totally clueless. But last time he really started to warm to the task under Wayne Hutchison. And also, I think the handicappers have been very kind of him, to be honest with you. He's dropped him a pound from the last run. So he's running off a mark of 119 now over fences, which, again, if you compare that to his hurdle form, he was rated 131 at peak over hurdle. So a bit of a £12 discrepancy there, which I think still underestimates him, really. As I said, he's only had two starts over fences. I think this trip will suit better. The ground will suit better. He looks well handicapped based on his hurdles form. And I'm hoping, yeah, he can go well for the Alan King yard, who had a winner recently.
Yeah, they've been in good form at the moment, haven't they? Alan King, Tom McVicker, the selection in the 340 then. We go to Lingfield for the next race. It's the 755, and this is a Class 4 Fillies handicap over a mile and a half. Only four of them in the lineup for this, unfortunately, but I suppose most people will be concentrating on Silk Train and Jewel. Do you see it between those two?
I do, indeed. I mean, a couple of things here, but what puts me off Jewel, really, is just her record at the track. I think she's now 0-6. And I just do start to worry. I mean, you can only make so many excuses for a horse, and I just start to wonder whenever that many bites of the cherry and the, you know, they're not collecting the fruit, that you just wonder if they just really don't take to it. And I think Silk Train as well, she's a bit of a funny character, but she went on her only start on the Poly track in a Kempton Maiden over a mile and a half last year. And if anyone saw her last start at Lingfield on the turf, off the same mark as she runs in this race, we'll say she looked totally outpaced. It was a three-runner tactical affair over an extended mile three. A bit of a fast school race in many respects for a filly who's got plenty of stamina. I mean, she's by Rail Link, of course, who won the Arc de Triomphe. So there's plenty of stamina in her pedigree. And I just don't think the slowly run crawl and then the quickening nature in the final stages really helped. I think an end-to-end gallop over a mile and a half would suit a lot better. So I would not be at all surprised if Kieran Fallon kind of pushes on further here and makes plenty of use of it, if you see what I'm saying. So I think return to a mile four start will suit. As I said, she's won on her only start on the Poly track, another big benefit. She didn't look, you know, particularly at ease on the twists and turns on the turf last time. And again, I got more negatives with Jewel. I don't think the other two are good enough. Jewel doesn't appeal because of the just doesn't fire on this track for whatever reason. And I just think Silk Train is quite an unexposed filly. There could be more to come. And off this mark, as I said, I would not be at all surprised if Kieran Fallon has far more prominent tactics and wants to force issue in a filly who, you know, is bred to get even further than a mile four, in all honesty. So, yeah, Silk Train's my selection in the 7.55 at Lingfield.
Okay, Silk Train there then. And on to the final race we're going to look at, the 8.35 at Worcester. This is a Class 3 handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 7 furlongs. Plenty of them in the lineup here, a nice competitive race. And you've got the likes of Bob Keown and Foggy's Wall coming into this after narrowly missing out last time. I suppose that's going to attract a few people's attention at the top of the betting. Do you side with those, or do you take them on with something here?
Well, I'm going to take them on. I mean, there's a couple further down, as you rightly mentioned. Those ones will probably soak up a lot of the market expectation, if you like. But Tornado Bob is one. I mean, he was contesting at Cheltenham Festivals in two or three years ago. He's really lost his way, but he's off a workable mark. But there's another one in here, Victor Ladorum, Charlie Manns, who blows really hot and cold, to be honest with you. You don't quite know what to expect with him, but if you catch him on a good day, he's very useful. And I think you've got to be prepared to kind of take that risk with him, because if he is on a going day, he's not thrown in here by any stretch of imagination, but he's well handicapped off a mark of 125. He's, funny enough, a course and distance winner over fences, chase winner off the same mark. So he's got it in him to perform over hurdles off this kind of mark. I think he's had his mark up in the high 130s, nearly 140 at one stage. So he really has. He's dropped down the ratings over hurdles, and it's interesting. They pulled him out last week of a race when the ground went too soft at the last minute. As long as the majority of the reins do not empty on the track, which I believe that the forecaster missed, then I think, again, off a mark of 125, he could be really interesting. As I said, you look through his form, and there doesn't seem to be a particular rhyme or reason to it. But he has performed at this track before, off this mark. And so, as I said, if the horse is on a going day, he's dangerous to dismiss. And I think he's one who could serve up to the protagonists.
Yeah, and like I say, he's been on much higher marks in the past. He's won off 136 over hurdles before. So, yeah, he does look well handicapped. Right, let's have a bit of a summary then, if you wouldn't mind, Ed. If you'll just spin us through your three selections one more time for Tuesday.
Yeah, indeed. In the 340 at Fontwell, McVicker for Alan King is my selection there. In the 755 at Lingfield, I'm going for Silk Train. And in the 835 at Worcester, Victor Ladorum for Charlie Mann, course of distance winner. And I'm fingers crossed for a big run from that one.
Okay, good stuff. Fantastic work, Ed. Been a pleasure to speak to you. Good luck with your selections and enjoy it on Tuesday.
Brilliant. Great stuff. Speak again soon.
The Racing Post's Ed Quigley there then with his selections for Tuesday. You can hear all of Tuesday's racing on Racing Radio from 1:45pm with Sean Quinn, John Budden and Gareth Topham in the studio. It's Fontwell and Salisbury in the afternoon. We have Lingfield and Worcester in the evening, and there's Irish racing on Tuesday evening as well from Roscommon. So plenty of racing to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.